big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, war. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday. This is Big Talking Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith, and this week we have Rodney Daniels.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday, Big Talking Brewskis time.
We also have Jason Cross.
Hey guys, we got some shit for y'all today.
We do. We got shit for you every Friday. And joining us is Carter Ford.
Oh, I have some stories.
Carter Ford has stories. So, Carter, how was your week?
It was good. It was long.
Would you
like a beer? Yeah, sure. Thanks. Yeah, it was long. I had a lot of rehearsals. I went on. It was my birthday on Tuesday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Your birthday was on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I dislike it very much.
Oh, wow.
I had a date. I ran into Rodney.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
I did with a girl that was tongue-tied. We talked about that for a long time.
Tongue-tied?
Yeah, tongue-tied. Like the
couldn't speak.
No. Like the floor of her mouth is connected to the tip of her tongue.
Ew.
Yeah.
So it's like really heavy, like this.
Well, I mean, she can talk regularly because
she
grew up with
it. Yeah, I couldn't tell
her.
When
life. No, yeah. Say life.
No,
you
she talks regularly.
When your tongue's
well,
like
the
that.
Point is I've kissed girls before that have been tongue-tied, but I had never kissed a girl who had been tongue-tied who tried to French kiss me. That was the weird part.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I guess like just the middle of her tongue would move, right?
That's what was happening. Okay. She would like thrust it out, like, oh.
I understand that.
Well, goddamn.
I mean, I would suspect that would probably make for awkward BJs, but, you know.
I was going to say, I feel like a BJ would still be fine, right?
Probably.
There's no such thing as a bad BJ unless you get bit.
That is not true.
I feel like a BJ would still be fine. I had a girl once stick a tongue in the urethra once, though.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but I'm saying she can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She can't really lick your balls either, really.
That's a true fact. She'd have to.
Well, I mean, you could use
the
middle of
the tongue.
She can't
lick stamps. How does she send mail?
True that.
Just
have to put
the whole stamp
tongue. In her mouth.
Yeah, it's just like.
But you have to put like two or three in.
But then you had to put like the whole ball like in your mouth at that point. I don't know.
No, I think. Like, I just. I think you can do it.
Wait, don't do that.
I really wish everyone could see the motion.
They can. I mean, I think that like, you know, probably is bad for like the circular motions, you know.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's yeah, probably.
She could do use her neck, though, can't she just...
Like...
But then the teeth are what are you talking about, man?
I don't like, fucking know. I'm just
you're like,
story,
I never kissed a tongue-tied girl. I got nothing.
I've never kissed a tongue-tied...
I've never had a blowjob from a tongue-tied girl or anything.
Yeah, I feel like you're probably a tongue-tied magnet because I've never experienced tongue-tiedness.
Well, I've met 5 girls that have been tongue-tied,
so
but I've only kissed 2
yourself.
Of them.
You met 5 girls that have been tongue-tied?
Yeah, but I've only kissed 2 of them.
What is it about you that
attracts
tongue-tied
women? Yeah.
Now, I my sister often says, what is it about me that attracts crazy women? So really, I think that's the thing to talk about.
So what's the craziest experience that you've had?
I think the craziest experience that I ever had was I started dating this girl in London about 2 weeks after I got there. And on our second date, I looked down at her finger and I saw she had an engagement ring on.
Okay.
And I asked her what that was all about. And she said, I thought you knew. And I said, why would I know? And she said, because you're the only dude that my fiance has ever fucked.
Okay.
To the fact where I later found out that her fiance was a girl that I had broke up with 3 months earlier, who I had dated here in New York. But I continued to date the girl in London for 3 months. So I dated her while she was...
engaged to your ex?
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn, is that why y'all hooked up?
No.
She must have been telling the story. It's like, oh, it's good or something.
She was just really nice.
Yeah?
I liked her, man. Wow.
But what makes that making her crazy?
I don't know.
Couples over here.
I don't know. I mean, it's my ask my sister.
I don't know that makes her crazy.
I hope they don't watch the show.
Well, I can't guarantee that.
She probably knows, though.
Oh, her fiance definitely knows now.
Yeah.
Oh, they give me the cold shoulder every time I see him. Yeah. Both of them.
Both of them?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Which one was a better fuck?
Oh, yeah.
One or two?
That's a good question.
Yeah, one or two.
I think I have to say it was the latter, but the first one was definitely into it more, despite saying she was a lesbian. Mm. Yeah.
What that fella.
Yeah.
Do you turn out lesbians?
I've been with a few.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I've been with
butch,
four now.
Very
yeah.
butch.
Oh.
Yeah.
The more butch, the better?
Not the more butch, the better, but it seems like they're more susceptible. They're more likely to be with guys, the ones I've met.
The butch ones just want to try
dick
every
now and then?
Yeah,
they usually have oversized titties and they wrap them down so you don't see them in short haircuts. All the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I've been with four lesbians, but only one of them has been butch.
Really?
Yeah, and she had really long hair and looked really nice when, you know, all the clothes came off and such.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend was bisexual, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And she was like,
well, you're just a party, Rodney. I can't. I fucking can't keep up with you, man. Hey, girlfriend. I'm like, huh? What? Ski mask, no face. Who is this masked Mexican?
Oh my God. I remember telling about that story, the masked Mexican.
The masked Mexican, yeah. Mm.
No, that's funny. No, the girl that I just started seeing right now, it was funny. She said that she wanted to have a threesome, and then she found out it was my birthday. And then she was like, oh. Your birthday's coming up. And I said, yeah. And I said, did you? And she said, what did you want? And I said, well, you were talking about that threesome. And then she just said, oh, I'll call Christine. And I went, what? Like, you got, like, you just know?
Like,
I was like, oh. That's, yeah. I was like, good on you. And
how
then the
it?
Next morning, no, the next morning she was like, I think I'd feel weird doing it with Christine. And I was like, why? She was like, I don't want to do it with a friend. Let's just find somebody. And then we're going back to my place. And we got on the train, and she looks over at this girl who's blonde and, like, so white. Like, when I say white, I mean I thought this girl, like, threw cocaine on her face. And we're sitting there. We're, like, laying there. I'm trying to go to sleep because it's, like, late. And I said, you need to stay up and tell me when our stop is. And she says, yeah, you see that girl over there? And I said, yeah. And she goes, she's a prostitute. And I was like, no, you can't just say that about people.
I was like,
you just can't say that. And she was, and then she was like, nah, I really think she is. I was like, how are we supposed to find out? And she goes, you still into that threesome? And I went, what? I ain't got that much money on it. She goes, I'll go 75-25 on you. And I was like, damn.
Well, it was
sounds like a deal. Yeah. And then she went over and she started talking to the girl. About 50 minutes into the conversation, she turns around and mouths, she's not a prostitute. Damn.
Did she get her back though?
No, she didn't. No. She was like, she's a dancer. She seems really nice.
Have you ever been with a prostitute?
No. It goes against my ego. I got it's the freeze for me. If I had to pay, I don't feel like they were an enemy.
Right.
So it like kills the whole high of being with
I almost ordered a prostitute once, but I didn't. I did because I had like a really nice hostel to myself. I know. Really nice hostel.
Boys!
That's what I'm saying. It was,
German
it was nice.
Motherfuckers love it. Two bunk beds to myself.
Look, yeah,
let
man.
Me get some pussy.
No, it was nice. It was like a big old room. It was bigger than this one. And I just had like one big old bed. It had, you know, had a little sink.
Where were you?
It was the Chelsea hostel.
Oh, so it was in
it was
New
here.
York.
It was in New York because this girl, because I was moving apartments, right?
Sure.
So I was staying at a friend's professor's apartment. Professor's apartment. I didn't really feel comfortable with a girl coming up from D.C. to have sex with me at my friend's professor's apartment, right? So I was like, I don't know what to do. You can stay there, but we can't have sex. And she was like, do you want to get a hostel? And I was like, Sure. Yeah. I was like, as long as it's nice.
Respectable deviant.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, you can't call her a prostitute. I can't fuck her. And this, I'll take her to a hostel. You like all about the pussy, but you got parameters. I like that. He's like, I will not fuck in this professor's bed.
Yeah. So now I was like, yeah, let's go.
I love it.
She came up for my show, and then like the moment she got there, she two things came up. One, she was seeing some dude in DC who knew she was going to New York to fuck some dude, and the moment before she left he said, when you come back, if you had fucked that dude, we over. Like, and that was apparently the end of it.
He ain't even used R. That's
yeah,
it.
That's what I'm saying.
He said we over. We over.
So then like she apparently thought about that the whole
bus
ride.
You don't get a full sin, bitch.
We over. There's no R's in this.
Yeah, and then
there's no R's in this tea.
Yeah, and then the other thing that came up was apparently she got there and she went to go get money so that she could pay for the show that I was light designing, and she goes into her bank account and she goes, I got $10. And I went, you're in New York. What are you supposed to do with $10? And then she calls up her mom, and her mom was like, I needed to buy something. It was really important. And I was like, how much did you have this morning? She was like, I had $600. And I was like, your mom took out $590 to just buy something?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, damn. I was like, why you do that? And she was like, because she'll kick me out of the house if she's not like attached to her bank account. And I was like, damn.
So then she stopped claiming me as a dependent. She lost all my information.
That's what I said. I was like, damn. I was like, I felt bad. And then, yeah. And then I had to pay for the hostel myself. And then I was laying in there and I was like, I could call a prostitute if I wanted.
Oh, so you were just trying to get your bang for your buck.
That was kind of how it was, yeah. Because I had to pay for the whole hostel at that point. All I got in the morning was an orange and some nasty cereal.
I don't know. I never would necessarily
pay for sex.
Yeah.
That's a thrill out of it.
I thought you were going to say pay for a hostel.
I wouldn't do that either. But I've dated a few like male strippers. So like I kind of feel like it's probably the same thing. Like you know what I mean? Because I feel like most.
Well, do you visit
you know
them
what I mean?
At work? That's the real question.
What?
Do you visit them at work?
Oh no.
Well, then you're not paying for it.
No, I'm certainly someone's paying for my dinner. I just don't know what he did to get that money. But like. You know,
very good point.
You know what I mean? But like, yeah, no, there's definitely, I've dated like, and I feel like, I don't know, I know a lot of sex workers are probably going to be upset about it, but like, I feel like once you get into that, no, but I know them.
That's true.
I know.
Say more.
Like probably a dozen or so. But like, I just kind of feel like strippers, you know, they're. It's like literally like a couple $100 they're going to be a hooker. Like, you know what I mean? So like
don't
I
take much.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like every like stripper probably has been a prostitute at some point.
I mean, I gave a guy $40 after hooking up. Is that
was
like
it for cafe?
Why?
Yeah, he was like, "I'm really cool. Can I get like a sick car or whatever?"
He just said, "Can I get $40?"
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
that's a prostitute.
You're
a
chicken.
Yeah.
He took the pressure off by saying, I'm really broke. Can you help me?
Right, yeah. So we had kind of mentioned that like beforehand, before he came over, and then he came over and was like, hey,
in that case, we've all slept with prostitutes then.
I don't think.
I don't have $250 to get on the subway. Can you swipe me?
Yeah.
All right, I guess so.
Have that happened to you?
I feel like that's quite the cheap prostitute at that point.
You guys are, you know. Very generous. I'm not giving anybody shit.
You said you gave it a swipe.
A subway
yeah,
swipe.
It was
swipe.
Not a subway swipe.
Grown ass man. You swipe on a subway.
Damn. All right.
Cold blooded. Not even a subway.
Cold blooded.
It's like, no.
I don't know about because it's two
dudes. I spent 40 hours in a fucking cubicle to swipe your fucking
better
Metro
walk,
card.
Motherfucker.
You better reevaluate your life choices.
That's like, funny.
Yeah, I don't
it
know.
Is kind of sad they need a subway swipe though. Like,
yeah. Aww. Yeah. She's like, this generous. I'm like, damn,
yeah,
that's
the
generous.
Same right here.
Like,
I
she don't give
using
them nothing.
In any way,
I don't
so
have unlimited way. You know, one more swipe.
Yeah, no, I actually always get caught in that because after, you know, if it's ever at my place, I always walk into the train, right? And then I get down there and I walk into the train, and then they just often, like, they'll turn, they'll kiss, they'll be like, bye, and it'll always be that moment where they start to walk away, and then they'll go, Carter, and I go, yeah, and they go, can I have a swipe, and I go, oh, damn, all right, and then, yeah, and I go over, and that's how it goes. Actually,
but don't most people have unlimited? I feel like that's just,
I don't,
like,
have unlimited. I don't have unlimited.
I got no idea.
Oh.
I mean, I
walk
do.
Somewhere.
That's why I swipe.
I only swipe,
I was like,
to come
yeah,
down
sure.
here, otherwise, in the summer,
because
I would normally
you live
walk.
In Manhattan.
But I still walk everywhere.
Right.
I would normally walk. I walk from Brooklyn sometimes.
I mean, you wouldn't if you live... Really?
Williamsburg, yeah. Just right over Brooklyn. Williamsburg Bridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
used to live in Brooklyn Heights, I didn't have an unlimited. I would just walk.
Stay fit, kid. Walk that shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't have an unlimited, but like...
I'm the only person that has an unlimited.
No, I do now. I mean... I live on 189.
Not
I,
rolling like
you know,
that.
I live on 189. I get off work on 57th at like 3 a.m. Like, I ain't walking home at 3 a.m.
Right. Yeah, well, that's yeah. what... Because I get
this
off
This
is
why I don't
late,
get an unlimited,
normally.
Though. I never use it. I'll get an unlimited and use it twice in a week.
Oh,
whereas
see.
Whereas if I just put money on it, I could just use it as I go.
When you
well, no,
because yeah.
I work in Times Square, so I'm like always on the train to or from work, pretty much.
Get a bike, man. You live in Queens, right over that 59th Street Bridge. Boom. Get a bike. Bike is like four unlimiteds, four weekly unlimiteds would be that's how much a bike is.
But I
then,
just don't. You're
gonna
be sweaty
get,
when you
right,
get there,
be
and then you gotta
when
lock
I get
up
to
your
work,
bike.
Then I gotta lock the bike up
and change your clothes.
Exactly.
That
like,
seems like
you know Robbie's
more.
Got a bike, and Robbie, two of Robbie's bikes have been stolen.
See, and that's
yeah.
another thing. What if I like
in
leave
the,
out
in the bar though? No.
They probably
I mean,
you, right?
No. I mean, well, there's a place I could probably there's keep it like at work. Yeah. I mean, but. I don't know if, like, at 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm getting off of work, the last
you
thing I want to do is, like,
a bike.
Ride a
plus
bike.
Plus, you work at a bar,
like.
Right?
It's a restaurant.
Oh, you about to get some crazy overtime this day without immigrant shit. They about to be
when
like, Rodney.
When is that happening?
It was yesterday. It was
Rodney,
yesterday.
We need you to work a double.
All the immigrants were there yesterday, so.
Really?
Yeah, no. I thought today was supposed to be, like, a general strike day also, and I don't know if that happened.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're working.
But, yeah. But when you love what you do, it's never work.
That's right.
But, and I think that March 8th is supposed to be a day without
women.
Day
without women. Are you going to participate in the day without women?
Is that going to be a protest as well?
They probably will have some sort of march, I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm so torn on all of this because, like, why am I going to waste a good vacation day? You know, like, I don't. And even with, like, the women's march, I was kind of really torn. And I like the idea of it. I do. But at the same time, I kind of feel like a lot of the people that are marching or striking probably didn't vote or voted for the orange turd, and I can't support that.
Wait a minute, but you work at, like, a place where there are a lot of women, right?
You're
like, don't say anything.
Stop! Ah!
Stop! My fans!
Hold on.
Yeah, we never
the fuck out of that.
Like, hold on.
Hold on.
She Heisman the shit out of that comment.
It's like, I like my 401k.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I work in a place that has a lot of women. I do. But
so if like everyone
so if everybody
up,
didn't
just,
show up, it would just
that's
be
just
like,
a day of work lost.
That just means that that's a double day of work the next day. You know what I mean? It's like the work's not going to go away because you're not physically there. It just means that like your 8-hour day just turned into a 16-hour day.
Gotcha.
How is that helping me? Like, you know, but
you should do a day without gays.
Yeah,
what?
I wouldn't participate.
You should. You should organize.
You said you wouldn't participate.
I would participate. No, I would.
Yeah.
You know where all this comes from? Though? It came from the Million Man March.
Yeah.
Farrakhan read some book about people not showing up one day, and he's like, I'll show them. I'll have a whole day with no black people.
No black men. See how it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, I think it would actually make more sense to have a day where, like, no one spent any money. It's like, no one really cares, like, if you're not going to work because you're not making money that day. But they do care if you're not spending your money. Yeah. So, like, I think if you're going to strike, you should strike and not spend any money. Like, literally a day where you spend no money.
So just
like, you don't swipe your Metro.
The economy fails real quick?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll show someone something.
You know what I mean? It's like a day nobody swipes a Metro card. Nobody buys a sandwich. Nobody buys an article of clothing. No one goes to the grocery store. Like, literally have, like, one day where no one spends any money at all. That will say more than, I'm not going to work.
True that.
Huh. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But I eat
it's above my pay grade, but that would be my idea.
You're
going to have
that?
To buy food the day before.
Oh, okay. Put my sandwich in the fridge.
Food does last more than one day.
Yeah,
Rodney.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
I've heard
buy your
that
food
recently.
The day before. That's your bike
just,
day.
Just like stay at home.
Yeah, but like,
do you have a refrigerator?
Yeah, I do.
You put food in there.
Good. I was gonna say otherwise they have salts that you can put things in. You know,
salt
like
is
back
probably
in the old
in
days.
Refrigerator.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they used to do in the old days.
Salt. Sandals.
Yeah.
We're just getting back to Jesus times.
Yep. It's funny. Somebody had like posted on my Facebook like who
they didn't have ice in those times.
No.
That's why they use salt. What do you think I'm talking
It's like they weren't all dying of hypertension.
So did they have a concept of cold drinks?
No.
Not at all.
Not really.
Everything was hot.
It's like
back then.
Something.
Or
that
everything was
shade.
Cold. Depends on where you live.
Can you imagine drinking that hot ass water? Well, we're talking about Jesus now. You brought
oh, we're
hot
talking about
water.
Jesus. Yeah. So, yeah, the Middle East.
All the water was hot.
Yeah. Because room temperature would have been hot because they had no AC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the water was hot. Mm-hmm. All the wine.
So, like, all the water was, like, probably piss temperature.
Yeah.
And they had to eat warm vegetables and fruit. That's disgusting.
Warm wine, too.
Warm? What, you've never had a warm vegetable?
Fruit. I like fruit cold. Like, oranges, nothing's better than a cold orange.
Cold
warm,
orange is cool, yeah.
That shit.
I like room temperature, like fruits.
Fruit?
Yeah. Yeah. Really? I don't think it's...
Cold grapes are the best. You never put grapes in the refrigerator and eat them?
I have.
I mean, I've done it, but like...
These are true facts.
I don't know.
But you wouldn't like not eat it because it wasn't
cold.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't enjoy it as much. I would have to be hungry.
Interesting.
Or
actually,
have a sugar rush or
the
something.
The first fight I got into had to do with Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. And not in the way that you probably think. Like, two dudes were just like arguing. And they were arguing about the color of Jesus.
Here we go.
And one dude was like, yo. One dude was like, no, one dude was in it. One dude was in it. He was like, yo, it says skin bronze, hair like sheep wool. He was a black dude, right? He was a brother. And he was going on about it. And the other guy was like,
this much.
Yeah. And then the other dude was like, nah, you ever see a painting? He's white. And I was like, that's a bad argument. That's just a bad argument. And I'm just sitting in the corner doing my old thing, right? And out of nowhere, the white dude, like, this argument's going on for like 15 minutes, and I know where the white dude just goes, all right, how about we compromise? I bet Jesus looked like him. And I went, I don't want any part. I don't want no part in this whatsoever. And then the black dude came over and said, oh, so you think you look like Jesus now? And I said, I didn't say a word. Yeah, and then it started. And then I punched him in the face and I ran away.
Wow.
I just didn't want to be in it. I was like, dang.
That was very Christ-like of you.
Turn the other cheek.
That's actually funny. One fight I did turn the other cheek, and I was not satisfied. One guy, like, slapped me in the face, and then, like, my next reaction was, am I going to punch him? And I went, no. And then I turned the cheek, and then he slapped me across that, and he walked away, and I went, that was good of me. And then I thought, that really fucking hurt.
Like, so this motherfucker smacked you twice?
Yeah, and I let him.
Why?
Because, like, my parents were telling me, they were like, read the Bible more. And I was reading the Bible, and then I went home, and I told them how proud I was. And I was like, yo, guys, some guy slapped me, and I turned the other cheek. And then I went home, and I told my dad. My dad went, and he went, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I was like, damn.
Wait,
then he goes, you going to turn the other cheek now? And I was like, all right. It's bad. Yeah, I'm from Philly. Is that what you're
gonna Philly, say? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my dad.
You
like
always catch
Irish
the people
man.
From Philly. You
yeah,
know,
Philly
like,
don't bullshit like that, though.
No, he real Irish.
How come you don't have one of those beards?
Me?
Everybody in Philly has those beards.
My dad's Irish. He got nothing. He got nothing going on.
Your mother is?
She's black, yeah.
She probably have one of those Philly beards. Are you Muslim? Nation of Islam?
She does not have a beard.
No, you.
I have a beard? No. I mean, actually, it's funny, too. Every black guy on my mom's side of the family, they just don't like beards, so they don't grow them. So I have no idea if they have any ability
to grow beards.
Yeah.
No, because Philly, like most dudes in Philly, black dudes have like these long ass beards, and they all.
Well, I mean, those are all Muslim dudes.
Yeah,
most of the time. No, but I'm the actually the church that I go to back at home is the capital of the Baptist Convention, National Baptist Convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got William J. Shaw, that guy, cool dude.
What's the National Baptist Convention?
It's just for Baptist churches.
Can they have a convention?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have like a president.
They'll
and,
be having lots of conventions.
I know nothing about churches. The religion.
Well, and then Obama, in his second year, he had he put together this a group for religious freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And our pastor was a representative for Protestant. So you had Catholic, you had Protestant, you had Muslim, you had Hindu, all these different representatives.
Right.
And yeah, and our pastor was the representative for Protestant religions in America.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's a wise man, but his services are like 3 hours.
Well, that's your typical Baptist.
That's Baptist.
Yeah, that's typical Baptist church, yeah.
Yeah, because I had like a great uncle that was like a Baptist minister. And when I was a kid, my parents used to like take me and like my mom would like bring like sandwiches in her purse because like she knew I was like going to get like cranky and hungry. And she's like, here, honey.
It's a little food.
Really it's like, eat something. Yeah. And I'm just like, she's like, but just be quiet. And I'm like sitting there like, it's like, you know, because like a Baptist service like that is like a 6-7 hour affair. Like, you
they
know
run
what
the
I mean?
Lights.
I got like an intermission. Like, you know what I mean?
It's you just, do. You have a meet and greet. You're like, everyone shake each other's hands.
It's like, this
hands.
Is the time to go
yeah,
to the bathroom.
Go, everyone shake each other's hand. I go, Ma, I got to go to the bathroom. She go, no, you don't. And I'm like, damn, okay.
Time for, time for act two.
Yeah, oh, no.
Gosh. You know, my dad's a pastor. So, like,
yeah.
I grew up in
he does
church,
3 hour services?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about for 3 hours? Though.
I mean, well, it's not just
that's a lot
right,
of material.
It's not just the sermon, but like you have like the announcements, and then you have like all the singing that happens,
yeah, at least, like,
and then they praise
and testimony,
dancers?
Praise dancers.
Well, sometimes, I don't know about you. Sometimes,
yeah, sometimes
do they lay hands
and the
they
praise
lay hands
dancers. That's an hour in
they
itself.
I remember one time I fell asleep.
They don't touch them on the head. They do the shake.
Yeah. Oh well, if no, somebody catches the spirit, that's another 45
exactly,
minutes.
Because somebody catches the Holy Ghost,
someone catches the Holy Ghost,
and then people are shouting and like,
have
you
seen someone catch? Goes?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
no.
It's like 15 minutes catching the spirit, and then it's like 45 minutes talking about them catching the spirit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, except my church, if anyone ever caught the spirit, you got like 10% of the people in, you know, in the crowd going, oh, yes, right? Because those are the other people that are going to catch the spirit at some point. And the other 90% going, oh, no.
It's like, I got places to be.
I got places to be.
Well,
and
no,
then
you're supposed to just have off on Sunday as a Sabbath. Yeah. You're supposed to just be a church.
Even if you're just doing a facial, you still got places to be.
I remember one time I fell asleep.
You got
like
toes to get done? Like
I fell asleep and my dad made me stand for the whole service.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
stand up.
Damn. You know, I think the worst thing was? Because, you know, I used to fall asleep when I was a kid, but I went up and I was doing the scripture one Sunday, right? Which meant I had to sit in the pulpit, like, with the pastors.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the seat right next to the pastor. The pastor gets up to go do the sermon. About 15 minutes in, because I had just got done like a rehearsal that went to like 1 a.m. and I didn't really want to do it. And about 15 minutes in, my dad has a video of me just going like straight out, like right behind him. And like the guy next to me kept hitting me because I kept snoring like right behind him. And like that's more embarrassing because, I mean, if you're just in the sanctuary, that's fine. But you're on the pulpit. You got like hundreds of people.
I'm the only person standing in the sanctuary. That was not enough.
Were you in the back or in the middle? The front?
Yeah, somewhere like in the middle.
Nah, yeah, that's still burning. That's
Lord.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Lord is right.
Sure.
Call me out.
Good Lord.
You're not like, because you're black, though. I feel like most black
never
people like grow up in church.
No, my grandmother was heavy into it. My mother is total opposite.
Total.
My father, I guess, a little bit, but my mother's total opposite. So, yeah, I didn't get those experiences as a kid.
So, like, I had kind of, like, a division with the parents, too. So, like, my dad is, like, was super, like, Southern Baptist, and my mom is Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and they couldn't decide upon, like, what religion I should be. So the only thing that they could agree upon was, like, when I got to the age of like confirmation that I should decide what religion I was choosing. And so, you know, it was about probably
what age is that?
Like 13.
Okay.
You had to choose a denomination.
Yeah. So like
pick a team.
Yeah.
That's like prison.
Yeah.
You're going to be with somebody in here. You're fucking one of us.
You aside, like
that's how they get you when you go to Rikers.
Like you're still serving all somebody. It's just on how you do it. Like that's what they cared about.
Basically that was what they agreed upon was that like because they couldn't agree what they were going to raise me as, they would agree that I would have to pick it myself. And so I think, like, from, like, I'd say it was maybe, like, 6-8 months that, like, they just took me to, like, different religions. So, like, I went to a Baptist church. I went to Episcopalian. I went to Seventh-day Adventist. I went to, like, a Buddhist temple. I went to, like,
so wait, not even different Christian denominations, like every religion every denomination.
Yeah, everything. Because they were just like, you had to pick something.
Damn.
But whatever it is that you decide that you want to be, like, we're behind that, but just pick something. So, like, you know, I did one of my best friends in junior high was Muslim. So I went to a mosque. I went to watch a Hindi guru. So they just took me to, like, all these different religions, and I had to, like, sit through all these services, and then, like, at the end of it, when I think I had been doing it for like 8 months, and shit.
You really studied.
It was like it was important for them for me to pick a faith. And so, like, after it, they, you know, we went to a big dinner, and, you know, they're just like, okay. So, and my parents are rattling off, like, well, you went here with this one, and you did this with that one. And so now it's your turn. Like, what did you decide that spoke to you the most? And I was like, what is the religion where you believe in God, but you don't believe in religion? And they're like, that's an agnostic. I'm like, that's me. And so then they're just like, you did all of that and nothing. And I was just like, no, because the only thing that I could agree upon was that no matter what you went to, everybody believed in a God. But I don't believe that a God would make people hate each other because they believed in different religions. So I think that religion is the problem, but God is real. And so then they're just like, all right. But, like, my mom is still kind of, like, on the fence about it. Because, like, if I had to go to the hospital and, like, they were just like, oh, like, what faith are you? And I'm just like, I don't have a faith. I'm agnostic. My mom's like, she's a Christian.
You know, I always tell people, I'm like, people are like, why do you go to church if, you know, you just say, like, you're spiritual? I'm just like, I believe in a community. Like, I believe it's really nice to have a community of people. And I, you know, like, I could say that I was agnostic, but I do believe that it's really nice to have a community of people. And I think that if you go to a church that does not hate other denominations or hate other religions, then I think that that's the kind of community that you want to be in.
But don't they all hate on each other?
No.
Like,
no,
I could say the couple of times I've been to church, they make fun of other religions and other churches.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Well, my church in Philly definitely doesn't do that, and that's what I love about
and
it.
Everybody from their church says the same thing to me. They say, well, Catholics won't say that. Well,
no.
Baptists won't say
that. Well, no, I've been to some Catholic churches that don't, and I just don't believe in the way that they go about their services, so that's why I don't go to a Catholic church. But then sometimes you just find it through things. Like, I went to this Presbyterian church in Brooklyn. It's called the First Presbyterian. Good music, great service, right? I had a great time there for, like, 4 months, and, like, you know, around the end of the fourth month, we got in, and somebody went up and made a sermon making fun of Baptist people, talking about how dumb it was the way that they went about. And I was like, that's not even right. Like, we don't hop around like that. Like, I was like, I've been going to,
like that.
Yeah, I was like, I've been going to Baptist church since I was 18. I've never gotten up and going, yeah. Like, no, that's not, no, like,
I've
that's
seen
not
it.
A thing. I was like, I was like, all these people have seen the Blues Brothers too many times.
Oh, I can, like, see the light. Can you see the light?
Everyone, like, dancing up and down, jumping on trampolines. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm more like a Baha'i faith. Like, I believe in, like, everything. Like, I don't think that any religion's, like, really wrong. And, like, I believe that everybody's right. And I subscribe to, like, several different types of religion.
Yeah.
This sounds like Buddhism.
I mean, I subscribe to parts of Buddhism. Yeah. I subscribe,
it's more
subscribe
of a philosophy.
To, yeah, it's like a philosophy.
Yeah, and that to me makes more sense. But, like, I feel like the most of the problems with mankind are stemmed in religious strife. And when you agree on so many different tenets of religion, but you just can't cross the bridge because you call yourself different things and, like, you call yourself different things, like, what? Because of the kind of foods you eat or the time of day that you pray or, you know, the garbs that you wear. And these are just very, like, superficial things. But if you just get down to the brass tacks, nuts and bolts, you believe in a higher power that creates things that does good or helps you do good or that you do good in the name of. And that's the basic fundamental, I believe, of most religions.
Yeah, most religions have the same, like, basic principles.
Right.
Like, you study all the religions, it's true, yeah. They all have the basic same principles.
And it's like when we...
And the same stories.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with different
Like, the story of
the
resurrection
names.
Is almost in every religion.
Yeah.
The 3-day death and then the resurrection.
Well, I mean, even...
every religion.
I mean, even the Bible, it's just... It's all the stories up until Isaiah, and then Isaiah's lineage, and then you got the Quran, which is all the stories up until Ishmael, and then it's Ishmael's lineage, and you're just like, all right, like, we got all the way up to Abraham, and then these two people picked two different brothers and then just went that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's not... Yeah.
But, like, the foundation, the core of it all is very similar. Even if you were to map like Buddhism or Tao or whatever onto it, the foundation is all very similar and everybody's kind of believing in the same things. What starts deteriorating our connections with each other is our cultural differences. And that is really, to me, just a means of separation and domination by politics. So I believe in a God. Like, I don't not believe in a God, but I don't
believe...
Yeah,
that's the only one that I can't, like, get with. Like, the whole science, like, people that don't believe,
like atheists?
Like, a higher atheist.
I just...
It's all the same thing, though.
I mean, science is there, but I don't know why you can't believe in a God. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Science is the other side of it. I mean, they all go together.
Well, no, atheists believe that there is, like, not a higher power, like, at all. That, like,
they don't believe in a God.
And a God. There is no God, period. It's like, there's, like, a big bang, and, like, now...
But I feel like atheists are lazy thinkers, right? Because even if you believe in a big bang, whatever the catalyst of that big bang is, you could call a God figure.
Right.
Because
there's really three different types of way that people look at the world. Well, at least the majority, because you have evolution, you have creationism, and then you have divine. I forget what it's called. It's called divine. It describes that evolution happened, but it targeted humans so that we could grow and become the people that God wanted us to become.
Okay.
That makes any sense.
Okay.
And it's basically just that he led us this way, but it still means that all evolution is real and so on and so forth, and just our concept of 7 days and our concept of, you know, each thing that was created after each other is just different than the way that they wrote it down to begin with, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's like divine... It's a really cool concept to look up, and it's just basically the concept that God created the Big Bang, and the stories that were written by people who were trying to figure out how God did this, right? But nonetheless, God still is the person that led us in this direction.
Right. Yeah. Ariel, we're all like,
yeah.
Wait, what? Like, did you Google it? Like...
That was God.
It's like you see.
He wants his presence to be felt in this room.
It's like everybody is a different belief, but they're all getting along. Everybody follows suit. I just feel like, I don't know. I think atheists kind of... I can understand atheism, and I think that I probably understand atheism better than I understand, like extremist religious belief or cults or something. But I feel like you can't just, like, it's for me, atheists, like, see the street, they're like, oh, I can get across the street, but I don't feel like crossing the street. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's there, they see it, but they just don't want to take the extra steps to get there. But, okay. You know, because it's
I mean, there's something out there, but when you do hear some of the rhetoric of some religions, it'll make I can see how atheists think, like, what the fuck are they talking about?
And I 100% agree with that.
I agree, but at the end of it, it's like, where did the root happen? Like, what caused all of this?
No,
I think it's a semantical issue.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I believe in the Big Bang, But what was the catalyst of the Big Bang?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, see, but
the atheists just like stop at Big Bang.
It's like even if you could say, okay, the Big Bang, it's like, you know, something. Even if you don't want to call it a god, and I don't have to necessarily call it a god, but whatever the catalyst was to the beginning of everything, that is the godhead, that is the god figure, god particle, whatever sort of name you want to give it. A rose by any other name is still a rose. But
oh, we're quoting Shakespeare.
Oh, that's how we do that.
Yeah, it's just a start.
With a rose by another name, not smell as sweet.
Exactly. It's just like, okay, call it whatever you want, but in my mind, the catalyst of everything, for a lack of a better word, because I, you know, I'll call it a god. But I don't necessarily feel like a god is some sort of like old man in the sky.
No, he but, is.
Like, tell me more about Cotter.
True that.
Does he speak to you?
Like, you know who said something that really made me think about it hard, though? Not like the existence of God, but just God in general. Like, say I had kids, right? Mm-hmm. And you met my kids and they told you they were scared of me and fearful. Wouldn't you think I was a fucking nutcase? But then you hear people say, I'm afraid. I'm God-fearing. I fear God. I fear.
And it's no, always, not
when I hear people talk about people. The fear of it, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, no, I've seen people talk about it, but I don't. I
doesn't
personally,
it make you like wonder.
I wouldn't think that you were a nutcase. I just think that I don't.
I would think you were a dick.
If I had kids that were like, oh, he's fucking scary, and well, you no, better I do took, exactly what he says, or he's going to send you to a place
that's
where you burn up all day.
No,
it's like what? You would think I was crazy.
No, I took like. That's
I would just think you were an asshole.
Like, my dad was like crazy, but like. I don't know. I was fearful of like my parents growing up. Like,
you know what I'm talking
anybody
about.
Anybody that's
you
got good parents,
you're
going to
fucking burn up and get stuck with a pitchfork for the rest of your life if you masturbate.
I took like a 2-year religion class and.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, I mean, when you're a kid, certain things are fearful that you scared of things.
No, I'm just saying,
like kids are scared of the boogeyman.
Exactly. I'm saying that when people like talk about God, sometimes they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm very God fearing, and you don't want to get on the wrong side because you'll go to hell and this, and you'll be condemned." And like, if you take a person,
yeah, but those people are also afraid of their own shadow.
Yeah, what I'm saying, you would just think so.
Or masturbating.
I just understand people's train of thoughts.
Well, you get a hairy palm.
You can't masturbate, my friend.
Like, if you masturbate, you're going to get stuck with a pitchfork in your ass for the next 30,000 years.
I figured that out at 12. That's how I ended up with glasses. And I couldn't stop ever since.
Good.
So now you took religion class for 2 years.
I took religion class for 2 years, and my teacher went on this long rant after we had to read the whole Bible like in a week. And then after he said, so what did you get out of it? What kind of person do you think God is? And then everybody had different opinions on it. And then he said, all right, it seems as if you guys all have a bias and you didn't read this book correctly, because I'm going to give you numerous quotes and numerous stories to prove you that God's a dick. And then he went on this whole thing. He was like, I believe that God created the world, but I also believe that he's selfish and he wants people to praise him every day. And it was this whole thing.
Wait, is he saying God is Donald Trump?
That's what I got out of it. Why do you think people will paint him as a white man? It's terrible.
That's a good one.
So, but no, it was just very interesting too, because even at the end of that 2-year class, I got a C in Christianity, a B in Judaism, and an A in Islam, which is funny because I'm still, you know, I still go to church. So.
An A in Islam,
my friend.
Damn.
I got an A. I got it right. Well, I think it was the one that I had the least bias to, you know what I'm saying?
I could never be Muslim. I like pork too much.
Then you couldn't be Jewish. You couldn't be Jewish either.
I couldn't be Jewish either,
you
no.
Be Jewish either. You couldn't be certain kinds of Christian.
Because I like sucking dick.
Yeah.
Wow. Dick and pork is keeping you out of heaven.
Yes.
Dick and pork will keep you out of heaven.
We just come full circle.
God created both, okay?
Blowjobs, religion, blowjobs. Right?
You know, ooh, if God didn't want you to do it, he wouldn't have given you the desire to do it.
Hello.
But
that's another thing too, a religion. It condemns too much shit.
that people do naturally.
It's, yeah. Right, because I had to find my own, like, okay, I'm going to deal with, like, my own way of dealing with God. Because, like, you know, I'm gay. There's, like, not, like, a... There's
no gay religion,
is there? There's, like, a gay religion. And, like, so many religions, like, condemn gay people, like...
All of them.
Like, yeah.
But with the exception of Buddhism.
There are many communities. There are many communities, with many different spiritualities that do talk about an array of different types of sexualities and so on and so forth. And they... And those types of communities don't even condone to religion. They just condone to a certain kind of...
Exactly, which is, like, how I think.
Religious philosophy.
Yeah. It's
but, like, how do you find yourself being... Like, I mean, I would assume that you would consider yourself to be Christian.
Yes.
And, like, for the most part. Yeah. And so, like, how... And your father is a pastor.
Yeah.
So how do you find a place in the religious world when...
It's called Jim Beam.
I mean, well, I don't know. Like, I came to terms with it when I was, like, 18, 19, and I came out to my whole family, like, everybody separately. And I don't know. It kind of just, like, opened up my dad's eyes because he wasn't, like, he would get on the pulpit and openly, like, talk about homosexuals going to hell. And, like, I had to grow up with that. Like, there was, like, a certain point when I was, like, 15, 16, I was, like, depressed about the whole situation, wanted to just, like, kill myself because I'm going to hell because I like sucking dick, you know? Like, I can't control that. And so, I don't know, like, once I came out, like, everybody started thinking differently about the whole situation. And eventually, my dad told the whole church I was gay, and, like, when, like, I get married, he's going to come to, like, you know, my wedding and stuff. And, like, they're, like, it was, like, a slow process, but...
Would your dad do the sermon?
I don't know if I would ask him because it's, like, work for him.
Okay.
But...
Well, no, I mean, that's just kind
of... Instead of just, like, you know, enjoying it, like...
Yeah, maybe you should just sit there. Yeah,
you can just sit there and enjoy it, and you know.
Well, that's just the whole thing that I say about community, too, because I think religion is specifically about community. Because if you find a community that really means something to you and is the way that you kind of want to live your life, right? And if you go to a Christian church that, you know... goes over certain things and say, hey, you know, things were a certain way back then, different biased people wrote the Bible at different points, but it doesn't take away from the core of what the religion is trying to say.
Exactly. You that know? Was always my argument, because everything, like, in the Bible, like,
it's written by different people.
It was written by different
that's
people.
Another point. But what was changed and what wasn't changed?
A lot of
well,
stuff
actually,
was
it's two
too.
Different.
Yeah.
There's
and
two
there's
different
books missing
things.
In most of the Bible.
The fact of the matter is
books.
There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. In the New Testament, homosexuality is not mentioned at all. It's only in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's, like, all these, like, rules and, like, crazy things that, like, people were
God
supposed
burned
to
down
do.
The city.
But,
yeah,
I mean, they changed a bunch of stuff because they thought it would be better to sell, like, specifically the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what they did, and that doesn't make any sense, but there's no...
So the Old Testament should be the Bible, then, which is the Torah.
Yeah, the Torah.
Is
yeah,
what we're saying. Because, I mean, you know, how are you going to make amendments to God's word?
Well, true that.
Right. But I also think it's interesting in, like, Judaism that they don't believe in a hell, which I feel is, like, the fundamental core of keeping people on the right.
Well, no, they don't believe in a heaven.
They don't believe in either.
They don't believe in a heaven or a hell.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they know that hell exists, but they don't believe that they go to hell. There's
so
this whole
where do
thing
people
about Abraham's
go afterwards?
Bosom, which is, there's this whole really interesting thing about Abraham's bosom, which is where Abraham went and all these very religious people would go in hell, but it's not heaven. It's just a point, and it means that they're not going to suffer in hell. Does that make sense? But it means that other people go to hell. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't know.
They don't believe their followers will go to hell.
No,
like,
so they don't go to hell. There's this thing called Abraham's bosom, and, you know, it's based off of Abraham, right? And it was created when Abraham did all those things.
like heaven would be Miami. Abraham's bosom was like Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, but then
you're close enough to drive there, but you don't live there, motherfucker.
The they don't believe in Miami. That's the point. I mean, it's there, but people can't go there. When they die, they can't go there. It's only when Jesus died that it allowed us to be able to go up there with everyone. And then Christians believe that everyone that was in Abraham's bosom went up to heaven when Jesus died on the cross.
How come there hasn't been a newer Testament?
The newer Testament is the Quran.
Even past that.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because we're constantly evolving.
No one's doing that yet.
It should evolve, yeah.
I mean, the newer Testament would be Mormons.
Scientologists.
Mormons wrote
You know, it started by a Freemason, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then you got the Third Testament.
And a lot of it has...
Joseph Smith.
A lot of it has Freemason doctrine inside of it.
I'm still trying to figure out what the special underwear are for.
What word?
The magic underwear?
Yeah, the magic underwear. And do their genitals levitate? Like, I don't understand. Like, what is...
levitating genitals.
You can only hope. Maybe they're, like, upside down. Actually, one time my genitals disappeared. That was a weird thing.
Was it cold?
Yes. Yeah, I tried to have sex with a girl next to a frozen lake on Staten Island.
Didn't work.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
That's what I'm saying. It happened twice.
What, having sex with a girl? Or when it doesn't work? You gotta be very specific,
not
Rodney.
That bad. I mean, I just don't, you know, like.
He said it's not that bad.
It's like, you know, I'll do
your
it.
Your genitals don't work.
It's like eating broccoli. I mean, you'll do it.
I'll do it, right. You put some cheese on it.
If I'm hungry.
If they're in front of me, I'll suckle some titties. But
you know what I've always thought about? I've always thought about what if I suck some titties and then out of nowhere I just got some. Like, I got something out of it. And I'm like, yo. You had kids, like, just didn't know that. You know what I'm talking about?
Milk?
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant by something.
Oh, it's something I thought you were talking about.
Blood.
Yeah.
No, that would freak me out.
That's what I'm saying, right? Wouldn't that freak you out? Like, I mean, I might like it, but the point is, it still freaked me out.
I mean, well, change the subject. I peed on a guy. And I enjoyed it this weekend. Like, it happened. Like,
so, it was this weekend?
Yeah.
You peed on a guy this weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Was that one of the fun?
Yes, I was in Florida.
From
and
the Bible to
the
piss.
Guy. Right, exactly. And then we were in the middle of, like, you know, hooking up. And I was like, oh, I got to use the bathroom. And he was like, why don't you just do it on my chest? And I did.
Was it drunk piss or were you sober?
It was drunk piss.
Oh, so you're hitting with drunk
whatever.
Piss.
You do.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Now, I think that the real question is, was it your bed or his?
It was in the couch of the hotel.
Okay, so nobody had to sleep on it. That's
right. Yeah,
line.
No. Oh, and I didn't. Part. I was like, I started, and I was like, wait a minute, it's about to drip onto the couch. Like, I'm not trying to pay for that. Let's stop.
So did he clean up before y'all?
Oh, I made him take
back?
A shower. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you peed. I was like, go clean yourself up.
Right.
You just like throw him a towel.
Exactly.
It's like clean yourself.
Right, but like I had somebody like pee on me inadvertently one time, and I was like, oh no, I'm not like not into that. Like, while we were in the shower, but this time I was just kind of like, oh okay, like. That
wait, how did it not drop on
bit.
The couch?
It was just, I don't know, it was just like on
did
his
have
chest.
A
did he have a concave chest?
That's actually funny. My roommate.
Well, I'm like, how?
I had, 4 years ago, I had a roommate who had a concave chest. He used to eat cereal out of his chest.
Out of his chest?
Yeah, and one day, my friends and I, we came back. We were like so drunk, and we went over. He had this top bunk. We went over. We were like, oh, guys. I was like, I got some old milk. I'll pour it right. It's going to be awesome, right? And we poured the milk in. We all started laughing. I woke up the next morning, and I was like, yo, Connor, I can't believe you drank that milk. And he was like, I didn't drink that milk. And I looked up, and Aaron's bed was just, like, soaked in, like, old milk because he had rolled over. It was in his chest. I was like, damn. Sucks. Ew. And then he was like, what happened? And I said, you peed. That's all I had.
Damn.
So, now, Carter, like... I know that you had mentioned that you are... are you a comic?
No. So I have a company that does immersive activism shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm doing two shows next week. If anyone knows who Amiri Baraka is, he's a black poet and playwright.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we're doing a...
He's an author as well, right?
Yeah, he's an author as well.
Yes.
So he just died recently, which is really sad. Yeah. But he wrote the show The Slave and the Dutchman. One was a past representation of interracial dating or interracial relations. And then you had The Dutchman, which was his present day representation of it. But The Dutchman is very obviously, it obviously takes place in the 1950s. So the point is because that's such a popular piece, we're doing that piece now as a past representation of it. And then we've devised a new piece as a present day representation of it. So I've directed The Dutchman. I'm also in it as well. Basically, the point is we're using two racially ambiguous actors. If you are just listening, I'm biracial. And we're using mass work to talk about how race is a projected thing and how you project it onto somebody, like your opinion of what that race is. And then right after that, a show that I'm co-directing with a brilliant girl named Syra Muhammad. It's called Strange Fruit, and it takes place in a museum, and it's also about interracial dating in the present day. And yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's on the 25th. It's at Pace University at 2 and 8. And you can literally just type in Dutchman and the Strange Fruit on Facebook, and it'll come up. You can RSVP, and as soon as you RSVP, if you don't go to Pace, then I will put you on the list. And you can, it's donation based. You can literally give a quarter. We just want people to come out, see the show, and then a company called Nucor, which is a company that fights for more conversations about race, they're setting up a talk back session to have to just talk about, you know, what it means to see shows like this and what you took out of it. So
now the show is at Pace, and it's when again?
It's the 25th, so it's next Saturday, and it's at 2 and 8.
Okay, and for people that don't know where Pace is?
Pace University, it's in the financial district. It's at 1 Pace Plaza, if you put it on your phone, or also 140 Beekman Street. And it's just right there. You just go up to security, say that you're going to see a show called The Dutchman by Stand Up Productions, and then somebody will come out and get you.
Awesome. So nice. Now, what made you want to get involved in this project?
So this is a project that I pitched to this production company, and they just happen to be producing it, which is awesome because it's my last year at Pace University. And I'm actually I'm a business major, entertainment management major. And so I actually have a company right now called the Triage Arts Company, which also encompasses another company called Humans Playground. And the three things that we focus on is I focus on doing immersive activism work where audience members can come in and be a part of the show in some type of show that has some type of something to do with activism, and basically things about fighting homophobia, transphobia, racism, and sexism. And also classism as well, we just started doing as well. And we also do outreach. I've gone to a few Boys and Girls Club and done improv, and I built a few shows with a couple Boys and Girls Clubs. The last one that I did was about the last black princess that was ever written about. It's called The Songhai Princess, originally produced by Disney, but then they took it away, and then they made Sleeping Beauty instead, which is the same exact story, even though the original story was a black princess, which is actually really sad that they did that. And then my partner Devin Ritchie does these things called passion projects, and he has a show called Humans Playground that the two of us are producing together the last weekend of April.
What show is the Humans Playground producing?
So it's called Humans Playground. It's right. A 4-hour party that people can come to, just dance and listen to music. And basically there are 17 choreographed dances that have something to do with the theme of the night, which is change. So this is the third annual Humans Playground. And you can type in Humans Playground on Facebook and it'll come up, and more information will come up, especially when we have a ideal space. We're dancing between 3 or 4 spaces right now.
Okay.
Because we found that apparently the people coming is almost double the amount of people that came last year. So we're looking for a larger space, if possible.
Nice.
And it's a cool night. There'll be 17 choreographed dances that happen in some type of flash mob kind of way. But they're done with professional dancers, and they all have that thing to do with the theme change. And then there'll be an immersive theater piece that I'll also be in, if you guys want to come see me act again. And then there'll also be installation art everywhere from all different artists from New York and Brooklyn.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wrap this up because we're going to have to start our second segment soon. But where can people, you have a website, social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, I believe there's an Instagram and a Facebook. Just type in Humans Playground. I always post stuff myself, and my page is just a regular page for everyone to see on Instagram if you want to, and it's at C Fordo. So my first initial, my last name, and then my middle initial, which is the letter O. And I'm always posting stuff. You should probably just follow Stand Up Productions on Facebook and also Humans Playground. And those are the two things that I work through the most right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rodney. Hey. Where can everyone see you next?
Everybody can see me actually at the Broadway Comedy Club in about 45 minutes. I'm going to be hosting the show.
Come right now.
Right now. And I also have a show August 22nd, this Wednesday, coming up. It's called The Comic Strip. We're going to be stripping down. It's going to be boys against girls, kind of like a battle. And the audience participation is going to be like involved. And whoever loses is going to end up in their skivvies. So
what day is that?
Right. That's Wednesday. You coming?
Yeah, no.
Cardin wants to see Rodney in his own door. Anyway.
Jason Cross.
Check out laughatfirstsight.com. Site is SITE.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Dixon Place for the Women's International Art Salon at Dixon Place. That's at 7:30 on Christie Street. So please check that out. And March the 25th is going to be the next Fashionably Funny at Broadway Comedy Club. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have new guests on, and we'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack when open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
it's all yellow.
Welcome back to Big Talkin' Brewskies. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Jason Cross with us.
I'm still here.
Jason is still here. We are joined with Beth Maria.
Oh, what? That's me. Hello.
I love your in-studio audience that you have all the time.
Yes. And we've got Chewy May.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back,
yeah.
Chewy. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Beth Maria, how was your week?
What'd you do?
You know what? I found myself drunk a lot.
All right.
I found myself drunk. I did some sets, and I tagged along on some extra late night sets that I wasn't planning on doing. Got home late and missed my obligations in the morning. So that's where I'm at. You know, just putting comedy first, putting the rest of my life eighth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds like the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sounds like
And yourself?
The game. I've been good. You know, like working shows, having mini strokes in between Trump's tweets. That's been my life.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Did you guys watch that press conference?
I did not. I was at a spot.
The one, the anti-Semitic one, or the one where he, which
they
one? There's
all
so many.
Damn, there were more.
I didn't even know that. I an anti-Semitic paying attention to what he said.
He's always anti-Semitic.
It was one where he was screaming about how he's not anti-Semitic.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, that
oh,
one
that
gave
was
me.
Conference?
So, like, you know that like little
that he,
vein
that
in the
he
side
knew
of your
how
forehead?
To say anti-Semitic.
He's like. I don't think the Jews are bad. Like, that's kind of his way of saying it.
No, he's actually verbatim. It's so sad because he's a parody of himself. So it's not even like anyone can do a hilarious impression of him because he is his own hilarious impression. Yeah. He said, nobody likes Jews as much as I like Jews. That's a direct quote.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
And it was just, and that was just like a ramble in the monks of many other rambles.
Was his son-in-law there when he said this?
No, he called on a Jewish, someone like a who Hasidic. Was, someone who looked Orthodox, yeah. Jew reporter. Uh-huh. And he started off by saying, who could be fair in here?
Who's going to have a good question? Who's going to have a nice question?
Who's going to be nice to me? And then this guy raises his hand. He was like, oh, I've supported your campaign the whole time. Like, he like actually gave into it. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, yeah, let's see. Let's quote him. Quote him. Everybody quote him that he said he was going to be nice. Fine. Go ahead.
What the fuck?
And so he ended up saying, like, oh, you know, I don't think you're anti-Semitic. No, none of the people, the groups that I've been with think you're anti-Semitic. But what are you going to do as president? About the anti-Semitic things that are happening in this country, 48, he like cited a number that there was like death threats or like fire bomb threats for like 48 temples in the United States in the last 2 weeks, some statistics.
Like Jewish senators.
Yeah, and so then he was
what
like...
What about the Jewish senators?
They've had death threats.
Wow.
Death threats to the senators?
Yeah.
What?
Schumer and the...
Trump?
From Trump supporters.
Oh, that's
Sanders,
okay.
I'm guessing, as well. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren?
I don't know if she's one of the chosen people, but like...
she's my favorite. You know.
No, I'm not saying that she's not a chosen person.
No,
I don't
so what
know
you're
if she's
saying
one of the chosen
is she
people.
Better be Jewish because you like her so much. What, now wait, you're pro-Semitic, and that's worse.
Wait, now I'm confused. I'm sorry. I've been a weird all day.
It was the threats against Jewish.
Oh, threats against Jewish senators, not
yeah.
Okay,
not just senators.
Okay,
in
my bad. My bad. I don't understand
yeah.
things.
It's okay. No, well, I am.
He
go
just
on.
Like goes into like extreme deflection in a way that just. Dumbfounds everybody and shuts them up, and he's whether or not it's a strategy or whether or not it was just a strategy by other people to put him on because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like a shiny thing that is just distracting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a bauble.
Mm-hmm. And so,
but for me, like, because I the entire press conference first when I was watching it, I felt that little, you know, the little vein on the side of your temple that like. Flares up when you're
isn't
about
an
to
artery,
have
like a temporal artery.
Yeah, it's like I thought I was gonna have a stroke, and then I like to watch him live because I'm waiting for the day that he goes like full crazy meltdown where he pulls his pants down and starts throwing shit. I think we're about like 3 months away from that he's just gonna go completely ape and just like start like, oh, Trump likes that, you like it, and just starts throwing poo into the media.
Think, yeah,
I feel like it can happen. Or that, or he'll like start peeing on something, but it
like
will happen.
I don't think he wants to expose his genitals because I think he knows that we all know how small everything is.
Or maybe
like
he, like,
his hands.
More or maybe like he's so deluded that he thinks he's giant because nobody else would ever correct him.
Yeah.
That like 6 inches is not giant.
It's really scary to see all the pictures of how like genuinely three. Unhappy he
in
is.
It. Go on, tic tac, dick. Go on, but it's like. I think that it was there was a lot of holy shit, I think he's having a mental breakdown moments of the whole press conference. One was when he told that Jewish reporter to sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I get your kids, sit down.
Just sit down.
Oh.
Sit down. I got
that's
it.
Enough.
I got I know where you're going with that question. Sit down, be quiet. So there was one. There was a black reporter that asked him if he was going to reach out to the black congressional caucus. And he asked her if she was friends with them and if she could set up the meeting
oh my God.
With them.
Okay.
And then after
you know, everybody knows each other in that community, right?
Yeah.
In Chicago.
To be fair, I know some of them.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, she didn't have.
It would be highly unlikely a circle of black people in the same business that a lot of us wouldn't know each other. I'm not gonna
but
lie.
But like at the same time, though, to set up the meeting, and then he says to her, "Oh, you know something? That question wasn't so bad. You're very professional." Like, was he expecting her to throw like watermelon rinds
she
and like chicken
eloquent.
Bones at him?
Eloquent.
Like, I just, I don't understand
eloquent.
It.
Yeah,
it's like, he didn't call her articulate. He called her professional. And
that's a step up to from, he speaks so well. Remember they used to say that about Obama all the time?
He speaks so well.
You know, it's
or like how he wears that suit.
Yeah.
<What's>
like? He speaks so well.
So in that moment, like, I didn't even know. I was so angry with the whole press conference. I didn't know what I was, like, most angry about. It's like, he's trying to say that the leaks are real, but the news is false. So you're saying that all the leaks that are coming out are real, but the information in the leaks is false?
No, like, you're right, it doesn't make sense. What he's actually saying is the leaks are real, the information is real, but reporting on them is fake, which is the most wild of all the things.
It's like, how does that happen? Like, how does that even happen?
And just drink
it away,
people.
Marissa. Come on.
I have to. It's, you know, something. I feel like we should all be sending him our bar bills. It's like, you know, something. It's just like.
Or therapy bills.
Therapy, bar bills. If you've got a friggin' meth bill out in the Midwest that we're paying for, send it to him.
He's like, going to buy my next eighth.
it's crazy because I feel like the entire country needs to medicate themselves so that they don't have to understand and realize the fucked upness of it all. And then he's just kind of like, when someone brought up like the ship, the Russian ship that's off our coast, and he's like, you know something?
He goes, how do you know about that?
I could blow it up. I could the best thing I could do is I could go and blow the hell out of that ship, blow it right out of the water.
Really?
The country would go crazy. Everyone would be like, it's such a great thing that not other presidents did that. Nobody else did that. I could do that. But then I know you guys. I know the dishonest media. I know what you would say. I know what you would do. He's being too hard on Russia.
Wait, where is this Russian ship?
It was on the coast of Connecticut.
No.
Yeah, it was. It started out in the coast of Maryland.
Wow.
And then it moved up to the coast of Connecticut. And it was there for, it was like 30 miles away from our submarine based in Groton, Connecticut.
And what was it there for?
It's a spy ship. So it intercepts communications. And it's also weaponized. So it could blow the hell out of Connecticut, New York while it's there. But that's okay, because, you know, him and Putin are bros.
Oh, yeah.
Is it still there?
It's probably moved on.
The problem, him and Putin are bros. The issue is that he's not bros with, like, the interests of the American people. So.
Not at all.
Yeah, well, because Putin's got more money than us. But, like, it's actually dumbfounding. And the fact that, like, I've been fighting with, like, alt-right Nazis on Twitter, like, all fucking day.
Why were you fighting?
I think that this has got to be the next topic, which is very important, and I had to deal with this through, like, the first weeks after the inauguration, and even after the election results. It's self-care. So how much are we going to allow ourselves to submerge ourselves in this news? How much do we need to, otherwise we'll be ignorant?
Oh!
And are we getting a phone call?
No, we have a caller.
Do we need to put headphones on for this?
Wait, do you want
to? Oh, it's fine.
So self-care, because it was chipping away at my health. I mean, not that it still isn't, but I've had to limit how much I'm engaging in these. I linked up to two different pro-Trump groups. Because I didn't want to say that I was ignorant. You know what I mean? Only seeing my side of the story.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I linked to two groups that were pro-Trump or pro even Republican. And I just, detrimental to my health. Because yes. It's just absolute ignorance and nonsense. And I wish it wasn't so black and white. And I wish like there were some, there used to be some sort of something to play with about this side and that side. And people, Republicans would hide on being like small government or economic, being conservative economically, or like some things to say like, oh, not to be Democratic. But now the person in the highest office representing the Republican Party does not stand for any of those things.
Because he's not really a Republican.
Is just absolutely out of his freaking mind.
Yeah. I believe we have a caller.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Marissa. You're on Big Talkin' Brewskies. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Vin in Staten Island.
Hey, Vin.
Hey,
hi, Vin.
Vin
in Staten Island.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Good. You guys, I love it. I've been loving the show so far, but I do have to say this is no fault of your own. You guys have been talking about Trump for 20 minutes, and it's ruining my Friday. This guy is ruining every day of my week.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about now. So, like, how much are we going to allow this to infiltrate our systems? How much time do we give to him?
Oh, I wouldn't give him any time. I think, if anything, I think the Democrats have been a little weak on sort of trying to keep him at bay. I think they're letting, and granted they don't have the votes, but I think they're allowing a lot of his nominees to go through without any sort of recourse, even though a couple of them have not made through. That was mostly due to Republicans, you know, dare I say, sane ones stepping up to...
Well, they're necessary, right? Because the Democrats don't have a vote. But I'm really wondering, Vin from Staten Island. I know you. I mean, I probably don't.
Yes.
Probably. Do I actually know you in real life? Is that why?
I think we're Facebook friends and we've talked.
Oh, are you calling in? Because okay, cool. So, how do you feel about being obviously Italian American, Vin Vincenzo, and living in the only Republican borough in the five?
Oh.
In the five boroughs.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Listen, don't get me started on this place. Can I curse?
Yeah,
absolutely.
This fucking... Oh, my God. I hate it. Listen, Staten Island as an actual place, physically, is beautiful. I actually have to give it some of the most beautiful parkland in New York City. Nice residential neighborhoods. But the people, awful. Complete
awful.
Dead. Just absolutely.
Why do you say they're awful?
Oh, God. You ever been there?
Are you from Chicago?
Oh, my
no.
God. Okay.
I'm from Chicago.
So here's the thing. Nobody wants to ever take the time to read a book or understand what's going on in their community.
He's absolutely right. Can
every
I ask
time,
you? Oh, go ahead.
Every time I talk to people about, here's a good one. Like, crime is rising in Staten Island, and people are trying to figure out why.
It's the pill capital
of the
country.
So people automatically go, like, oh, well, all the crime is happening on the North Shore, and there's black people on the North Shore, so the black people are committing all the crime. And nobody wants to take the time to, because they just see statistics. So they go, okay, you know, I'm reading the newspaper, and I'm seeing black people committing crime. Oh, my God. But they don't want to take the time to realize the story behind the story. And it's like that
I'm,
side
I'm
of the
surprised
island
you're even saying they're reading the newspaper
for years and years and
I'm
years.
I'm surprised you're saying there's black
power.
People on Staten Island.
It's an issue of, it's an issue of culture and status and people being let down.
Vin, I grew up in Bensonhurst. You may have heard of it.
Yes.
Okay. And for those who don't know about Staten Island, everyone from Staten Island is originally from Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge.
They left when the Chinese started moving around.
Yep. So
those
I grew
damn
up
Chinese.
Those Chinese. And
my
so
friend lives in Diker Heights.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's like the name.
I know the area well.
Yeah.
I think I was the first to go visit and make it home safely.
Yeah.
Diker Heights.
No, I mean.
Well, no, they killed Yusef Hawkins over in that neighborhood for nothing.
There's a lot of stories.
Yeah.
So there was this split growing up. So I'm Italian. I'm from Bensonhurst. And when I was like 10 or so, we had like tons of Chinese kids come in. Mm-hmm. And then like the Arabic population really grow. And everyone fled. to Staten Island, and then like if they were really brave enough to get away from their nonna, they went over to New Jersey if they were allowed to get that far away.
That's why it's so shitty over there.
That's why it's so shitty. And I always like I talk shit about Staten Island all the time, but I really thank Staten Island all the time for taking our garbage.
Yeah, no, it's true. All the garbage is out here. It's ridiculous because people.
That's a pun on the Staten Island.
They're so scared of minorities. They're so scared of people who aren't white. Like right now, we have the highest Sri Lankan population in America.
What is Sri Lankan? I don't even know.
You know, small residential area, and people are like frightened of these people. It's like they just want to open restaurants, and you know. They just want to feed you, pretty much. There's a lot of great Sri Lankan restaurants in their communities that have opened up, and that's really what they're known for culturally here. But there's a completely, a whole half of the island that doesn't see it. I tell people in my own family all the time, like, oh yeah, I went down to, this part of Staten Island and had, this great, Mexican food or this Sri Lankan food or this Indian food, and they're like, what are you eating? Like, it's not Italian? Like, you didn't go out for pizza? Like, it's almost
I'm really lucky that I got...
They don't know whatever cultures are going on in their own backyard.
I'm really lucky I got my ass into Manhattan really quick, because all of that's very foreign
Humble
to
brag.
Me. That, yeah.
So now, Vin, we've got another caller, but before we go to them, if you had your magic wand and you could wave it across Staten Island, what would you fix?
Oh my god.
Yeah, like we don't have a half hour, but like.
Sum it up
in five words or less. What's the title of your first
novel?
Explain
it to us if
you
were Trump.
I would get rid of every Republican.
Woo! All right.
Good.
All right. Good. I like you, Vin.
More, you know what? I'm bisexual. More queers on Staten Island. More queer and LGBT people on Staten Island.
Yeah.
All right.
They're there, boo-boo. They're just hiding from all the fucking morons. You got it, boo. You got our full support here. Thanks
for
calling in,
just
got
to turn the lights on in the closet. But
thank
go
you,
on.
Vin.
Thank you, Vin. Thanks for Samuel. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks for the honesty.
Hey, this is Marissa. You're on Big Talk and Brewskies. Who am I talking to? She hung up. Oh, we lost Vin for no reason.
Our first prank
that
call.
That bitch was Republican. Vin, it's your fault.
It's your fault. Wait, she hung up?
She hung up by accidentally.
Oh. Ooh, call us back. Next call.
Please call us back.
If you called us, call us back. We were. Oh, she wanted to shout out. Well, Chewy's friend.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, my friend.
Chewy's friend, call us back.
Please.
No, that's I know that like he was kind of upset that we've been talking about Trump for so long, but this is the environment that we're living in, and so I felt like I had definitely had an achievement that I had gone 4 days on Twitter without being called a bitch, and it's just like I think it's so weird. Damn. That These Trump people, it's like you call them a troll and they're like, oh, why are you insulting me, you bitch? Like, they're very, very, very sensitive. All right. This is Big Talking Brewskies. This is Marissa. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Marissa. This is Erica from D.C. Erica Nolan.
Oh, hey
Erica. How are you?
How you doing? Good.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
Chewy's Twitter.
How
you guys doing?
Good. She's a hilarious comedian from D.C.
Yes, and she's sometimes in New York. We've had her on Fashionably Funny. So now, Erica, what is going on in D.C.?
I don't know. I'm in D.C., but I'm probably the least person, or at least that knows about what's going on in D.C. I just came back from Saratoga Springs last week.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Okay.
They have a Comedy Works up there, and I had a spot there. So I've been back and forth to Massachusetts, because that's where I'm originally from. So I've been back and forth there for a while.
Okay.
But no, D.C. has some good stuff happening, too. D.C. is always good.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Now, have you been down there or seen any of the protests that's been going on?
I the only one I was in, I went to the one the very next day. I was in the women's protest. Me and I have a teen daughter, so I went down to attend that. And that's about the only one that I've been included in. There's just too many.
Yeah, I think there's supposed to be like a protest every day for the next 100 days or his first 100 days.
Oh my goodness! Well, I was exhausted just with that one. But no, we did just the one so far.
I'm too tired after reading the tweets. Like, I don't have time to march after that. I need to, like, go to bed and pop a Xanax.
Mentally, yeah, it is. I'm telling you, I can barely sleep at night. And then when you get those little breaking news things, I'm like, oh, my God, like, not again.
You gotta turn that stuff off because it's not, I've never seen a breaking news that was breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's all Nordstrom's. Yep.
But I feel like eventually the breaking news is going to be like, we're in war with North Korea. Like, it's going to happen eventually.
Right. So I've been playing with this premise. The premise doesn't matter if it becomes a joke, but it's a serious thought. And it's like, okay, how much do we let of this toxic energy into our bodies?
Before he gets us in this, yep.
And then,
what do we do?
What do we do if we ignore him and then we miss the first time he says, like, he's going to, like, press the big red button, you know what I mean? Like, listen to him.
We can't close our eyes though, just because
you're gonna see an orange flash in the sky and you're gonna be like, what is that? And then you're just evaporated. When you could have been like, I could have said I love you to my loved ones and then been evaporated.
Just say it every day, boo boo. Just say it every day.
Scary thought, but I'm with you guys. Like you said, you can't close your eyes. You have to do something. You have to stay involved with it. But like, what do you do on a day to day basis? Sure. You know.
Personally, I'm training for the camps. But
oh yeah.
Fuck,
I'm learning
to
eat less.
Well, they better have a Dominican hairstylist in there because I need one. Like every
week. I into those camps.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What I really feel bad for is the Puerto Ricans in these ice raids, because, like, you know what?
Ice.
Yo, that guys didn't hear about the ice raids?
Tell me.
They're kicking down doors looking for illegal immigrants.
Puerto Ricans specifically? Like, what the hell are Puerto Ricans doing?
Because they can't tell the difference between a Puerto Rican and a Mexican. They just think they're exceptionally tall Mexicans.
They have like a stop in Flatbush, right?
But why? Like,
yeah. Terrible.
They have a checkpoint in Brooklyn.
Some people do think that.
Yeah, like Trump people can't tell the difference between a Mexican and a Puerto Rican.
Okay, so what? Why? Why would? Okay, all right. Okay.
I'm gonna even give you before your head explodes.
Where's my wine, bitch? I got a wine. No,
wait, why would what?
Not bitch.
Wait, what? Where's
my? But like before your head explodes. Explodes. Trump the wine is coming.
Okay. The wine's
like
here.
It's fine. Trump is actually wrote an order where he wants to use the National Guard to the tune of 100,000 National Guardsmen and women to deport illegals in 6 states across the country.
It's been going on like crazy in Chicago, I know, because I know people that live there.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it was 46 here.
100,000 National Guard.
He's also trying to militarize the police.
Now, what happened to the checks and balances? Like, I didn't quite get my bachelor's in political science, but I thought that there was...
Here's the trick, though.
We got set up so that he just couldn't just go haywire like that.
So the thing is that he has to get permission from the governors of whether or not, the governors of the 6 states to deploy these National Guards.
It's a trick, though.
But if they don't do it, he's probably going to label them as sanctuary states and cut funding to them, which is going to trigger them into agreeing to do it.
But here's the trick, though. Look at the long con. Once we get used to people getting rounded up, you know what's next.
Gas chambers?
Something. Gas chambers, firing squads, slavery, something.
Mass
murder.
Yeah,
apartheid.
Exactly.
Is anybody noticed within the... I don't want to interrupt you, Google.
No, go ahead.
No, what?
Erica, what was that?
That's what I don't understand. Like, with the ICE thing, with them searching for the undocumented workers, like, how is he doing this? That's what I don't get. Like,
because we're desensitized.
How are they doing this?
Well, they were at on this like I was reading Facebook and Twitter, And they had ICE agents on the 7 train platform in Flushing pulling people off of the subway platform.
That's my people. How is that not? I need that to be ahead. See the anti-Semitic, we were talking about that earlier, the anti-Semitic, stupid, moronic thing. Was that on air, or were you talking about that before?
No, we were talking about it on air.
On air? Okay, because we did have a little conversation before. But that flashy nonsense is the first thing that all of us see when we log on to social media, or that we get from a CNN update or whatever. But what I want to know is why I'm not seeing ICE agents on Flushing
in the news.
As my top, the most important.
Today. Exactly. They ended up 46, 45 people so far in New York City.
But like, that's the thing with
social
media. And they say
80% of them were criminals. This was on Fox
News. But
how
do you know that they're criminals if they're on the subway? It's like, oh, you use the subway, so you're a criminal? Like, that doesn't
even make
any sense.
How do they even know the person is illegal? They just walk up to people and...
This is where I'm worried about. It's like, you know... Chewy,
look, they're grabbing
Jason
them first
and
then
Erica
trying to figure it out later.
Is that eventually these ICE people are just going to start? It's like, oh, you don't look American. Like, you know, are we going to have to start walking around with our birth certificates in
our
purses?
But do you know what? It's up to the people who won't get stopped to stand up. Me, it's up to me. Out of this table.
Yeah.
It's up to me to stand up and stand for I'll say this as a million times because I want it to be spread around. The only way we're going to fight this, and it's against black people, it's against immigrants, it's against women. Who is it against? Right? Everyone but exactly white men. But then that's not even true because it's anyone under the 1%. So that's, what is there, 500 people, 300 people in the top 1% of America? So it's against all of us. Yes. So how are we going to do? If Marissa stands and talks about Black Lives Matter, if I stand there and I start talking about my uterus, right, because that's the most important to me, if you're standing for your immigrant family, right, that's good, but it's not as powerful as if I stand for Black Lives Matter, if you stand for women's rights, if you stand for immigration, because if we stand, everyone needs to pick one thing. That will one issue that if resolved will not directly affect them and stand for it, and that is the only way that we will get this done.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah,
very good.
But
brilliant, even
the problem. And I'm 100% agreeing with you. But here is the for me the crux of the problem, and that is that. And I'm not trying to point fingers or alienate anybody, but this is not only a white problem, but this is a white male problem, and it really,
we ain't got none of those right now. Where are they at?
I
don't like them.
No. They're at happy hour because they don't have anything to worry about.
I you know they're fine for their credit score, but go on. So, they. boop, boop, boom. So, no, but here's the thing, though, is that if men, and I'm going to say specifically white men, wanted women to be equal to men, they would be because they're the legislators. They're the ones that create the laws, but they don't want us to be equal because they don't want us to compete against them. If they wanted black men to be equal to white men, they would be, but they don't want that because they don't want to have to compete for jobs with them. The only thing is that white men that are of the 99% need to stop living this aspirational lifestyle, thinking that they have the capability of being the 1% if they were not born in that 1%. It is this dream, this aspiration that they think that, oh, well, if it wasn't for the Mexicans and it wasn't for the women and if it wasn't for the blacks and if it wasn't for Hispanics and if it wasn't for the gays, I would be able to have this money too. When they don't understand that you're just another cog in the wheel, just like the blacks, just like the gays,
like the
Hispanics, mm-hmm. just like the women, just like everybody else that you don't want to think that you are, you need to understand that in this globalization, this global economy that we live in, there is no such thing as black and white, gay and straight. There is only rich and there is poor. And if you are not rich, you are poor. If you are poor. Middle class, you are poor. Because the rich, they're not just, oh, I make $99,000 a year rich. They are, yeah, I have more money than nation states rich. And if you do not have more money than nation states, you are poor. But you've been sold a bill of goods that if I work in a prison and if I enslave people of a different race and a different gender and a different religion, I at least make my pension in 20 years, making sure that you're locked up so that you never compete with my kids. Those people are just as trapped in the same economic quagmire as a person living in the projects that are slinging crack to pay for their kids. But they think they're better than them because some person that's in the 99, like the 1% is saying to them, oh, you know something? You're not like the bad ones, the brown ones. You're not like the foreigners, the women, the ones with the vaginas. You're better than them because you're a man and you're white and you deserve this. Not like, oh, well, you know something? You're just as trapped as everybody else. Right. You just have blinders on so you don't see it.
But you know what that 1% needs? An army of people. They need someone on the ground. So what they're doing is convincing people that you could be me. You could just be just like me. You aren't like them. It's helping the idea of us versus them.
Divide and conquer.
This idea based on race or religion or gender has nothing to do with actual... Well, I don't think that much feelings about like I think the people who really believe in like Aryan races and like separating and ethnic cleansing and stuff are very few and far in between. I think most people are just conditioned, and I think that the reason why we condition black versus white, and I really want to get away from black versus white language because what better illustrates extremism than calling you black and me white. Put a piece of loose leaf next to me, I'm not white. Your microphone next to your skin, you're not black. This is the epitome of calling each other different. Mm-hmm. Opposites, right? So anyway, I want to get away from that language, but let's speak in it because we talk like that. But like the it's rich versus poor, like Marissa is saying. How do we identify people? The best way to identify people, like human, the way that humans just function, is saying, you look different than me. I was just seeing this love story of this man who this college kid who loves, he's from the east side of Africa and she's from West Africa, and her mom doesn't want her to be with her. He doesn't want her to be
with him.
With him. And just like that, I try to explain that to people all the time when people are like, the blacks. I'm like, have you ever been to Flatbush? Do you know how many blacks there are? Do you think that they don't discriminate against each other?
Tribalism.
You would know. Can you speak to China? About China? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a huge piece of land with so many subcultures, and they discriminate against one another. Within the LGBT community... stand united in pride when it's us versus them, but within the community, people get against each other. People will always find a way to make someone other, to prop themselves up, and it's within human nature.
It's tribalism. Mm-hmm. My tribe's better than your tribe.
And going back to your black and white conversation, I think that the biggest irony is that the blackest person on the planet and the whitest person on the planet are both black. You know, it's crazy. They're both African, like they're both of African descent. The whitest person on the planet and the blackest person on the planet are both black. But then you have, and I'm going to, I'll push back a little bit about saying that the ideology of ethnic cleansing is very minimal, because I've been on Twitter being called a bitch all day by Nazis. So I'm going to disagree with that. And I'm actually surprised. And I think that when you get out of, because I prefer Facebook because I can control like who sees my contact, mm-hmm. like who's on my page, who I interact with. And when you're on Twitter, you're out there in the hinterlands with a bunch of
just
fucking
exposed.
Barbarians.
You're like naked in the woods with pieces of raw meat on you.
Yeah, and so
but that's the world, though.
I don't have to like
it.
Is it
the world,
though? That is a good
though?
Way of putting it.
Sadly,
it is.
But true, yeah.
It is.
Is it the world, though? The world is what you make it.
You know, it, and everybody's
yes, but you have to be aware of those elements out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those elements out there, and it could be very dangerous.
You know,
if
I,
you're not aware of them.
Yeah, you could be aware of it, but I can also make my own reality, like we all do, and do my best to avoid subgroups of people that are going to cause me harm.
Oh,
you
I don't
avoid
want
them, but
to
they'll try to
deal
you.
With them. They tweet me.
But they'll find you, though. Somehow.
It depends on what type of hate group we're talking about here, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean...
And sometimes they're sitting right next to you and you never know.
Oh, yeah!
I've had friends and I was like, God damn, who is this guy?
Oh, right.
True.
But, you know, I keep people like that close to me, so I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Well, to
yeah, I like to know.
Ariel. To Ariel's point, I mean, you can't... Ariel's not mic'd up, but she was saying, you know, depends on who you are, because you can't travel, right? So now we're talking skin color, which is absolutely true. And I don't think people understand what it's like to be someone of color and realize that you cannot travel in so many places in this country.
Go to certain
and
places,
feel safe.
Yeah.
And you cannot travel in so many people, so many places in this world.
I won't even say that I feel necessarily comfortable leaving the metropolitan area.
Yes.
And I'm
going
to be 100% with that because I had gone to Lake George, which is only a few hours away from here. It's still New York State. And I went up there and it's Confederate flags. And
woo,
it's
Lord.
Like, you know, and which is crazy to me because... You know, they've got like Fort William Henry, which is was basically like trying to prevent England from invading our country. And that it is the north of the north. You know what I mean? And how do you have a Confederate flag in the north?
Because it represents something else.
It's not representing the Confederate. It is your declaration of white supremacy. And on top of that, then we definitely I experience, you know, Southern people that were there on vacation that were like, you know, giving me dirty looks and this and the other thing. And I don't feel safe in this environment. And it's not even necessarily like, oh, like, I'm afraid of name calling. Like, I've been called names my entire life. The first time I was called a nigger, I was in first grade. So I'm over the name calling thing. What I don't trust is that their law enforcement will actually protect me. So it's not even like a matter of, oh, somebody calls me a name or tries to attack me and then I call the police
and
then I
protect you.
And I have the police
and
to protect me.
The system fails you, too. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't feel safe in these environments. And, like a lot of comics are like, oh, like, you should do the road. Like, I don't want to go to Middle America.
Oh.
Why would I go to Middle America?
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
On top of race,
I don't want to leave
just,
New York City.
Just as a... As a as a generic white, just a generic
a
woman
white
you don't want to go. as your token white person of the day. You know, it's hard. I don't want to try. You know, I can't go. I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about the safety that I would feel calling 911 that you wouldn't.
Right. Because I feel if I call 911, then they're going to shoot me when I wasn't the one doing the wrong thing in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
They might rape me, but they won't shoot me.
Right. Well, they would probably rape my dead body, but that's beside the point. But you know, it's unnerving and kind of like going to like again, like you're saying, you're an Italian American. Like, I have gone on a cruise with one of my friends, an Italian American from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. She's got the Bronx accent,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, like Bronx Italian, like, ew, how you doing? Like, and so like we're on this cruise ship and like all of these Southern people scared to death of her because they thought that she like she was in the mob or her family was in the mob. And they're just like, oh, like, what are you, a mafia princess? And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, she's like,
you know what? Somehow it's become honored. It's so filthy.
I kind of wish that my ethnicity had that instilled that fear against racist people, because like there was like a
They do. All you got to do is step back in a stance and do something like that.
It's like, I know karate, and they'll be like scared shitless.
Are you kidding me?
There was like I should have pulled it up before sitting down, but there was an article about like a woman pushing old Asian people into the subway tracks and calling them ching chong or something like that.
What?
That's crazy.
I think that I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Please tell me that was fake news. That would have been on the news everywhere.
No, like, that's why, like, the first time I got beat up, and my friend is here in the studio audience, and she and I got beat up in middle school by a bunch of girls from an alternating middle school that was riding the bus with us. And one of our friends is Chinese, and the whole time they were beating on all of us, right? We were trying to fight back, whatever. We were much skinnier than them. They were, we were pussies. But the whole time they were beating her up, they were saying ching chong, blah, 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 blah. It's just for some reason, you know what it is? You know, a comic that just doesn't, Just always picks the low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. That's what this shit is.
It's always been that way.
I don't want to take time to know who you are. I'm just going to tell you who you are because I don't want to put in the work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm untalented, and I'm just going to make a joke based on what I see with my eyes.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's it.
Like, I used to have a bit about, like, about the Trevor Project, and I was like, oh, yeah, people picked on me being Asian before they knew I was gay because they didn't care to know enough about me to know that I was gay.
Right.
They just picked on me for being Asian first. Like, that is.
Yeah. But if they took the chance to know you, and they could have,
like,
new material.
You're Asian and you're gay.
Double hate crime.
They weren't getting their money's worth.
They could have had two for one, but they chose that one instead.
And I hate cutting everybody off, but we've got to wrap this up. Erica, are you still on? Okay.
Oh no, she hung up on us.
It's okay. So now before we go, Chewy, where can everyone see you next?
Sure. Well, and if you guys are listening from Boston, I'm going to be in Boston in April for the Women in Comedy Festival.
Woo!
So this week I'm a part of Ariel. This week I'm a part of Stand Up New York Comedy Festival. So check out standupnewyork.com for information. And I'm going to be all over New York City for the next couple of months. So follow me on Twitter at Chewy Comedy. Follow me on Facebook at Chewy May. And follow me on Instagram as Chewy May as well.
Yay!
Beth Maria,
tomorrow night, if you're listening right now, tomorrow night, Saturday, I'll be at Salzy in Brooklyn, followed by Karma at 8 o'clock and followed by Karma at 10. I run a show called Summon the Goats. Goat standing for greatest of all time. So I produce it, and I really try to make a quality show every time. And I'm at the Lantern, and the next show is on March 11th at 6 p.m.
Jason Cross.
Check me out at laughatfirstsight.com. Site is spelled S-I-T-E.
Catch Big Talkin' Brewskies every Friday night from 6 to 8 right here on FLO Empire Radio. I will be at Dixon Place for the Women's International Arts Salon at Dixon Woo-hoo! Place tomorrow at 7:30. Fashionably Funny will be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club on March the 25th at 7:30 p.m. Be safe, you guys. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we will see you next week, God willing.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. Water cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, war. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith.